Today's daf is Mem Hei. We're going to continue along in the Mishnah. We were in the middle of all these cases where you're nishba v'notel, where you swear in order to, you're allowed to swear to get money from the other side, even though most shvuot are nishba v'no mishalem. In this case, Chachamim flipped the shvuah and said instead of that person swearing, the person who wants to collect the money is allowed to. And that we said there was circumstantial evidence, right? Two people were in a room and one hit the other, and you know, we don't really know, but we assume, right? And then one claims you hit me, and the other claims I don't know what you're talking about. Or a sakhir, which we're going to talk about why the sakhir, a worker, gets to swear that he wasn't paid and gets his salary. We're going to talk about why that is. It seems to connect with Israeli labor laws, right? That the worker is always right, okay? He gets the right of way. And a bunch of other cases. We ended with a strange case about a person who asked the Chemvani, the storekeeper, to pay his workers or give his son money, and then the son or the workers claim we never got the money, and the store owner says, I already paid the money. And in that case, either by way of shvua or according to Ben Nanas, you certainly can't do a shvua because someone's going to lie, but basically the balabayit has to pay both people, okay? He has to both pay the son the money directly, and he has to give the Chemvani the money that he owes him for the fact, right, he told the Chemvani, give this money. The Chemvani claims, I already put the money up for you, so give me the money. And he has to pay them both. Either they have to be swear, or Ben Nana says it can't be because one of them is for sure lying, and therefore he just has to pay them. Okay? You have to wonder why he has to double pay in this case. It's not really his fault. But it really is somewhat his fault because he entrusted others to do things for him, right? In other words, he didn't do it himself. If he had done it himself, he would have avoided this problem. But since he didn't do it himself, then it ends up being his fault that he didn't, you know, he should have done it himself, and he kind of gets the raw end of the deal. Okay, so we're starting now right after Ben Nanas. It's maybe about 15 lines from the top, maybe 16. Amar lechem vani, tein li bedinar peirot. Vinatanlo. So he says, I want a dinar's worth of peirot, and the Chemvani gives him the peirot. Amarlo, tain li oto dinar. And then the Chemvani says to him, well, where's the dinar? Amarlo, nitativ lecha. He says, what do you mean? I already gave you the dinar. Okay, this is like you go to a store, you get the fruits, you start walking out of the store, and the person says, but you didn't pay. And you say, what do you mean? I already paid you. Nitativ lecha unitato ba'on pele. I already gave it to you, and it was in a bag, the money that I gave you, or in some sort of...
You put it in your money pouch.
Oh, right. Thank you. You put it in your money pouch, okay? Nitato, you put it already in your money pouch. And that's why you don't see it in front of you. Right? In our words, it would be, and you put it in the cash register. Okay? Yishava balabayit shenaitan lo et hadinar. Okay? So the balabayit is allowed to swear that he already paid him the dinar. Okay? So the assumption here is that the balabayit wouldn't have given him payroll if he hadn't paid him. It's just a classic, right? That's the assumption here. He obviously must have paid him. Amarlo, now it's going to be the flip, okay? That was where the balabayit was tovea, give me my dinar. So in that case, we say that that the balabayit can swear, sorry, but I already gave it to you. Now we're going to flip the case. Amarlo, ten li et ha-peirot. Okay, he gave him the dinar, but he says, you didn't give me my peirot. Amarlo, nitatim lecha, I gave it to you, v'holachtim letoch beitcha, and you already put it in your house. Yishavar, obviously this isn't happening right then at the store. It's obviously later. He said, you know, earlier I came and I gave you money. I told you to deliver me fruits and never got the fruits. So he says, what do you mean? I gave them to you and you took them straight to your house. Yishavar chenvani. So in this case, okay, both these cases, who gets to swear? The defendant. Okay, the defendant gets to swear and he therefore doesn't have to give him the payroll. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol shaperot biyado yado ala elyona. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, he disagrees about the first case. And he says, the perot are in whose hands? The balabayit's hands. So in that case, right, he already got the perot. So yado ala elyona. One second. Yishava balabayit. Kol shaperot biyado yado ala elyona. Yishava balabayit. At Rabbi Yehuda. Right. Rabbi Yehuda is saying he doesn't even have to swear. Okay, look at Rashi. He says, Va'ata, the middle of that Rashi, Kol Shaperot B'Yado Yado Al Yonah. He says, remember, the first case was He takes the payroll, and then the balabayit says, where's my money? So the first kid, right, the Tanakhama said he has to swear. But Rabbi Yehuda says, Atar Rabbi Yehuda lemeimar, and Rashi ain't tzarich shvu'ah, and this is interesting why he says so, she'ein derech chemvani amocher shelo b'hakafa liten et ha'perot ad shekabel et ha'dinar. Because a chemvani, ain't derech chemvani amocher, we're assuming here, you have to read this right, a chemvani that doesn't sell on credit, okay, now there's stores that would give you, right, you can go into a store and say, oh, I'll pay you tomorrow. And there's certain stores you can never do that in Supercell, for example, right? You would walk into a big supermarket, there's no way they would let you pay bakafa. So if you're in Supercell and that happens, and they say you didn't pay me, then there's, you know, there's no way that that would happen. As they would never have given you your stuff if you hadn't paid them. Okay, even though you pay at the end, but the assumption is you wouldn't, you know, here we're talking about obviously some time must have elapsed. And they're saying there's no way if he sold you, so you have to assume that this case is talking about someone who doesn't sell to people on credit. Otherwise, it doesn't make as much sense. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda says, if he has the payroll, it must be Yadol El Yonah, that he's got the right, he's right, in which case there's no need to swear. Same case now with a shulchani. What's a shulchani? A shulchani is a money changer. Amar the shulchani, tainli bedinar ma'ot. Okay, give me a dinar's worth of small change. Vinatan lo, and he gave it to him. Amar lo, tain li et ha-dinar. So then the money changer says, give me the dinar. Amar lo, natati lecha v'natato ba'on pele. Okay, I already gave you the dinar and you put it in your money bag. Again, yishavah balabayit, okay, the balabayit swears, and then he doesn't have to, right, then he gets his dinar. Natan lo et ha-dinar. I'm sorry, then he doesn't have to give the dinar because he obviously, sorry for my mistake, he doesn't have to give him the dinar, he obviously gave it to him already. Natan lo et ha-dinar, if he gave him the dinar, so the balabayit gives him the dinar, okay, this happened to me last night, I'll tell you my story in a minute. He gives him the dinar, it almost happened to me. Amar lo, tein li et ha-ma'ot, and he says, give me the change. Amar lo, nitatim lecha, I already gave you the change. Vishach letoch kischa, and you already put it in your wallet. Yishavah shulchani. So then the shulchani swears that he already gave him the ma'ot and he doesn't have to give it to him. So I was in a restaurant and I needed change for the tip. So we gave the waiter money, like some random waiter there that we didn't know. We gave him money to exchange our money. And we were waiting a few minutes. So I said, this is exactly the Mishnah. What if he doesn't bring me my change? You know, then we could have this whole vikuach about did he give you the change or not, you know. So anyway. He actually did bring the change, so it wasn't surrounded. Otherwise, we would have had a swearing fight going on. Okay, so in that case, right, I would be able to swear and get my money. No, it would be the opposite. Yishavah shulchani, he would have to swear that he actually gave me the money, and then I wouldn't get my change. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein derech shulchani litein isar ad shi tol dinar. Okay, he says, he again rejects the first case. He said, there's no way that a shulchani would, right, imagine money changers, we know it's classic, right? Money changers are very, very careful about everything, right? You don't go into a money changer where there's no hidden camera somewhere or visible camera checking what's going on. A money changer would never, ever not get the dinar from you. In other words, if you go into the money changer, he's not going to give you money till you give him the dinar, and therefore you don't even need to swear. It's obvious you got your that if he claims you didn't give me the dinar, we definitely don't believe him, and you don't have to take a shvu. Okay, just like the previous case. Now the Mishnah says, "Kishem she'amru." Okay, they're going to say just like it says in the Mishnah in Ketubot, and we're going to list a bunch of cases in the Mishnah in Ketubot. Likewise, it's going to add another case. We're going to get to in a few lines. V'chein, just like that, we're going to apply this in another case. So, what did it say in the Mishnah in Ketubot? Hapogemet ketubata. We just had this term about a pogem ashtar. What does it mean? It means that you get some of the money. So the woman collected some of her ketubah money, but not all of it. And she still has the ketubah, which says the husband or the husband's estate owes her X amount of money. But really, he doesn't owe her X amount of money. He owes her less because she already got paid back some of it. So hapogemet ketubata lo tipaha ela b'shvua. She has to swear in order to get the rest of her ketubah. So even though generally if you have a shtar, you can prove it by a shtar, you certainly don't have to swear. But in this case, since her shtar is already guma,
impaired.
Impaired, that's a good translation. It's impaired, therefore she has to take a shvua. Ve'ed echa mi'idah shehi pu'ah. if there's one witness, even though one witness doesn't really mean much, but if there's one witness that says that the shtar was, that the ketubah was already paid to the woman, lo tipara ela b'shvuah, she has to swear, or it would apply not just for ketubah, but for any case of a shtar. Minechasim meshuabadim, if you want to collect a loan from lien property, you have to swear that you didn't get paid back the loan, because what are we worried about? Just because you have a shtar doesn't mean anything, because you can have a knunya, remember that? Where the person can pay you back the money, but you agree between the two of you, you're going to keep the shtar so you can pretend that you didn't get paid back. You're going to demand the property from somebody else and you split the profit 50-50. So because of that, when you go to collect your loan from lien property, even though you're allowed to collect, this is interesting because we've been learning for a very long time about this nechashim meshuabadim, that you can go collect from lien property. If the person doesn't pay back the money, you can go take his land from somewhere else. But now we're learning it's not so simple. You actually have to swear. You have to remember, people didn't like to swear. So it's a bit of a headache. Right? You don't necessarily want to swear. We've seen this a number of times. If you want to collect money and claim that your father... Yatomim's father owed you money and never paid you back, so you have to swear about it, because how are the Yatomim supposed to know? V'hanifrat shelo b'fanav lo tipara ela b'shvuah. If you pay back the loan with not to directly to the person, she's nifrak to batasha lo b'fnei ba'ala, because he sends a get m'medinat hayam, and then she gets the ketubah money from his property, but he wasn't there, and he's not there. And that's what's the issue? She wants to collect the ketubah money from the husband's possessions, but he's not there, so she collects it, and he has people in charge of his money. It's just like Yatomim. They have no idea. Remember, there's no communication in those days, certainly not Bamakom. So in order for her to collect her ketubah money, we don't know. Maybe she collected some of her ketubah money when he was still alive. When he was still in that city, right? In other words, when he was around, maybe she collected some of the ketubah money even before the divorce, or maybe even after the divorce. If you remember, we had this whole thing that because the money set aside for her, sometimes she would take the money during her lifetime. This we learned way back in Gittin. There were times when women would take the money even when he was still married to her. So therefore, if she wants to collect her ketubah money and he's not there, she has to swear because maybe she was paid some of the money already before. V'chein ha-yitomim. Okay, so now we go back. We said k'shem shamru. So this all was the Mishnah in Ketubot. It's interesting. The Mishnah is quoting another Mishnah, right? It's also uncommon. Just like it says in Ketubot, all these cases, you have to swear. V'chein ha-yitomim lo yiparu ela b'shvuah. If yitomim, now what did we see about yitomim? If you go to collect from yitomim and say, your father owed us money, he never paid us back, so you have to swear to them that he really never paid you back the money. But now we're going to say if Yatomim want to claim that the father was owed money by people and they want to collect money from other people, they also have to swear. Because they don't, again, why do they have to swear? This is an interesting case where I prefaced this when we started the parak, that we're going to see some cases where even if you have a Tanat Shema, you're not really sure of your claim. Okay, or maybe I didn't say this yesterday, I don't remember, but anyway, I'll say it now. Usually, when you swear, it's a case where you know for sure right. I know I owe you only 50 and not 100, or things like that. This is a case where you can swear even though you're not 100% sure. Because the Yatomim don't really know what happened in the father's lifetime. The Yatomim find a shtar that says, my father's owed money. So, right, my father lent this guy money, so they try to collect it. So now, what do they have to swear? They have to swear, basically, this is what they have to swear. Shvua shelo pakadnu abba. I swear my father on his deathbed didn't tell me that you already paid back this loan. Right? You can imagine, father on the deathbed wants to give his information to the son and say, listen, by the way, I have this shtar, but he already paid me back. So they have to swear. My father didn't tell us anything about it. V'lo amar lanu abba, shalom. V'lo amar lanu abba, right? And he didn't tell us anything about this. Shalom atzinu bein shtarotav shal abba shestar zeh parua. We looked through all his documents, and we didn't find any sort of shovar that said that this was already paid back. Rabbi Yochanan Bebroka Omer, afilu nolad haben lachar mitat aviv. Okay, even if he's born after the death of the father, where really doesn't know anything, Hareze Nishba V'Notel. He still swears. What does he swear? He basically has to swear that I didn't find any shtarot, again, any shovarim, the last part he could swear about. That he didn't find anything. He looked through all the documentation. He didn't find any indication that this was paid back already. So that was what we learned from Ketubah. From there, we're going to learn that when a yatom tries to collect money, he has to swear about it. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Im yesh edim sha'amar ha'av bishat mitato shtar ze'eino parua. By the way, this is, I want to stop before I get there. I'm thinking about something. When we learned eino for'im minichse yatom ela b'shvua, it's really so that people don't take advantage of yatomim. Because people can come and say, oh, your father owes this, your father owes that. They have no idea. But what you see here in this mission is, it's not so much that we're trying not to take advantage of Yatomim, because this actually is making the Yatomim's life much more difficult. It makes it harder, because they're going to have to be willing to swear. And people aren't. Why don't people want to swear? Because they're not always exactly sure. You find the shtar of your father. Do you have any idea, really? Did he collect it? Didn't he collect it? You don't really know. So you don't really like to swear about things that you're not so sure about. I mean, at least here we're not making you swear definitively. All you're saying is, I didn't find anything.
It's a qualified shvua.
Right, it's a qualified shvua. It's true. But it's a bit of a headache for the yatom. And this sort of sides on the side that the reason why all the stuff about yatomim is just that we don't have enough information. So we have to make them swear at least about as much as they know about, you know. Again, it's a different person swearing, but if you're going to say that these shvuot are somewhat connected, then it's not as much to be not taking advantage of yatomim. It's a little bit more to be not taking advantage of the fact that there's lack of information here and let people take things without actually looking into things properly.
It would be a long time because if the baby... If the
yeah, it would definitely be a very long time.
Born,
yes, it would be, it'd definitely be a long time because it's going to have to grow up until they can actually make the claim. Yes, that is true. But it also means that we're saying you have to do your homework. You can't just say, oh, I found the shtar, okay. But you have to actually swear that there's nothing among the documents that proves otherwise, right? We're making you do your homework properly. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Im yesh edim sha'amar ha'av bishat mitato shtar ze eino parua, hu notel shelo b'shvua. He says, but wait. The yatom doesn't always need to. If there's edim that the father said before his death, sitting on his deathbed, he said, by the way, I just want to mention that I have a bunch of shtarot, and these were never paid back, and the following people owe me money, to kind of clear things and make them very clear, and he does it before edim, then you can take it without a shvuah. Okay, then the yatomim don't need to swear.
It's just kind of funny, yeah. Because one of the things that, when you talk to doctors who are dealing with the elderly, one of the things that they say is, make sure while you're still healthy that your kids know, I mean, today mine is passwords to your accounts, like, all of this stuff to... Like it's a very
right.
modern-day issue.
Right, it is a modern-day issue to kind of make sure you clear what you can and give all your information over, exactly. And I'm sure it's not a modern issue. I'm sure it was a very big issue then. Imagine, at least we have bank accounts. We know where the money is. We, you know, there. But it's true, what you're saying is you have to get access to the accounts. But in those days, all the more so, where things were less organized, computerized, et cetera, it's complicated. Like it was a big concern always before death. Okay, ve'elu nishba'in shelo b'ta'ana. These people claim, even though the person going up against them, this is where we also get into the Bar Yoshema, where the person against them doesn't actually have a real claim against them. This is an interesting case. Okay, what are these cases? Hashutafin, if you're partners. If you're partners and the other side is worried that maybe you're doing something not right, they don't really have a claim against you, but they can make you swear that you only took your portion and you didn't take more. Okay? These are all cases where, also reminds me of a mission in Ketubot about the famous mission about the woman, things that are dot Yehudit and dot Moshe, and there's things if she doesn't take truma and feeds her husband food without taking truma. And there's all sorts of situations that arise where one person has control and the other person doesn't, and there's a trusting relationship. But what if one is the suspect of the other? So just by being suspect, it's enough. They can force the other person to swear to them. Okay? Doesn't create a good relationship. Okay? Where you're talking about even with a woman and her husband. But these are people, nishbein shelo b'tana, shutafim, so partners, ha'arisin, a sharecropper, so the guy can make the sharecropper swear that he didn't take more than his percentage he was supposed to take. Bapitropin, right, people who are in charge of other people's money. Vaisha, hanoseit v'notenet b'toch habayit. Okay, this seems to mean a woman who handles the business, basically. Okay, she handles the money of the business. Uben Abayit, this is a brother when he split up Yerusha from the other brothers, and he has to claim that he didn't take more than his share. He didn't dip into their portion. Amarlo, Mata Toineni. So the person says, what do you want from me? Like, what are you asking from me? So he says, Ritzonisha Tishavali. I just want you to swear that you were fair and square.
Can you do this Hayaf. At any time? Like, if you have an inkling, you can force
it. It seems
to
like, yeah.
You don't need to have any
right.
evidence.
Right. It doesn't sound like you need any evidence. Okay? If you're just suspect of them, if they're, you know, you can make them swear. Chalkua Shutafim, but we're going to see. But if they already divided everything, Chakuashu Tafin, V'harisin, the Aris already took all his stuff and were finished, Ein Yachol Lashbi, okay? The brothers divided their property already. Then, once you're already no longer partners, you're no longer in this exchange, then once you're out of the relationship, you can't make them swear. However, Nitgalgelo Shvua Mimakom Acher Megalgalim Alav Et Hakol. But if he owes you a shvua for something else, then even after you divide the property, then you can add that on, latch it on. We talked about this gilgul shvua, and you can make him swear about it. Last line in the Mishnah, which seems a little disconnected to all this, vashvi'it meshametet et hashvua. Okay, we're going to see in the Gemara what exactly this means. But let's say you have a loan, and you claim, let's say you borrow money from me, and I say, pay me back the money, and you say, I already paid back half, and you owe me a shvua moda b'miktzat, and then you don't take the shvua, and then comes the Shemitah year. So the Shemitah year cancels out the loan. Okay, that's one way of looking at it. That's if we have a shvua, there's a case where you have a shvua.
Cancels out the oath or cancels out the loan?
Cancels out the loan and the shvua, everything. Okay, you don't have to pay me the money, and you don't have to swear to... You can swear and not pay me the money, but now you can just not pay me the money because the loan is canceled. Okay? This is a bit radical sounding, right? In other words, it sounds like we already, you know, why all of a sudden? But the point is that Shvi can cancel. We're going to learn it from Zed Devar Shemitah. Even Dibor is going to cancel, not just loans, also Chiyuv Shvua. And yeah, so this is an interesting. There's two ways to view Shvuot, and maybe this also supports the second way of viewing it. One way of viewing Shvuot is that the reason for a Shvua is, the reason you take a Shvua is in order to verify who's telling the truth. Right? That's one way of seeing it. The other way of viewing a Shvua is, as I said before, people sometimes aren't 100% sure of things. So if you think someone owes you money, if they take a Shvua, they're in essence giving you something. They're giving you that okay, I guess I really wasn't right. Right? They're giving you something by giving you the shvua. I say you owe me 100, and you say I already paid you back 50, and I'm not sure. I think that you owe me 100, but I'm not 100% sure. So if you take that shvua, you've given me something with the shvua. It's like you almost paid me back because you're telling me I already paid you back. So in that sense, you can view shvua like a loan. Because you're giving me something. It's not just a dibor. It's actually something. You're giving me something that's going to now give me that consolation that I guess I really did get my money back. So in essence, this can support that where it's treated more like it's actually something rather than just verifying the truth. Okay? Kol nishba'in shebatorah. So now we're going to the Gemara. Kol nishba'in shebatorah nishba'in v'lo mishalmim. How do we know? Okay, the Mishnah started out, everybody's nishba v'lo mishalem. But the rabbis instituted all sorts of shvua where you can actually take money out of someone. So how do we know that kol nishba'in shebatorah nishba'in v'lo mishalmim? Damarka, this is in Shvuot HaShomrim. V'lakach ba'alav, meaning he has to take a shvua, v'lo yishalem. Okay, it says, right, he takes a shvua and he doesn't pay. So here you see, misha alav l'shalem, lo shvua. The shvua goes on the person who has to pay. And the shvua just exempts him from payment. Ve'elu nishma'im v'notlim. So now we're going to get to our first case. We're going to have a long thing about this. Maishna sachir detakinu le rabbanan de mishaba v'shakil. For what reason did, if you go back to the very first case, it was a sachir, a worker. A worker's allowed to swear that he didn't get his payment and get paid. So why? Why did they give him this power to do this? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halachot gedolot shanukan. He says, great halachot were taught here. So the Gemara says, halachot, hani hilchataninu. The Gemara understood that when he said halachot gedolot, what did he mean? What do we call halacha? What do we mean? Ah, halacha la Moshe mi Sinai. This was passed down to Moshe at Sinai. It's one of these categories that's in between Doraita and Rabbanan, and it's very, very early. So the Gemara says, Hane Hilchot Haninu, these are halachot, Moshe Mitzrayim. We thought these were takanot that they instituted in the time of the Mishnah. This can't be. So what did Shmuel mean? Ela'ema takanot gedolot shanukan. Now this means, this was a big takana. So then they say, gedolot, michlal de'ika ktanot. You said takanot gedolot. Does that mean, well, there were some great things they were metakein, and there were some smaller things in this area. But there are no ktanot. So what do they say? Alam Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, takanot kfuot shanukan. They made takanot that were kfuot. What does that mean? Akruha rabbanan l'shvua mibalabayit v'shadyua asachir. Okay, that they uprooted the shvua mibalabayit. Now, it's min haTorah, the balabayit, supposed to take the shvua v'lo l'shalem. And they uprooted something from the Torah and said it, that this is the way it's going to be from now on. In other words, they changed it. And that's why it's called takanot kfuot. Right, they basically uprooted something for the Torah and now instituted in these cases the sachir is going to be able to swear. Why? Mishum kidei chayav. So what's the reason? It's because this is his livelihood, right? This is labor laws in this country. If you don't protect the workers won't have food to eat, right? You always think about it. The worker is the weaker in the relationship. The balabayit generally has money. That's why he's paying someone. The worker, we want to take care of the disadvantage. So this is his livelihood. So then they say, wait a minute. Mishum kidei chayav desachir katzin le balabayit, right? The anti-labor laws. What do you mean? So the balabayit has to suffer because this guy needs livelihood, so therefore we're going to let him lie and take payment twice and penalize the balabayit? Like if this guy's a liar and he'll lie and say, I never got paid, but he really did. So, okay, after we're going to have a very long ping pong here. So they say, balabayit gufei nichalei demishta basachir v'shakil. It's actually in the best interest of the balabayit that if he claims... He says, I never paid my money. So it's in his best interest for the sachir to swear, and then he'll actually have to pay him. Why? Ki hechi di'itgaron le'poalim. Because otherwise he's going to get a bad reputation and no workers are going to want to work for him. Okay, we saw this all in Bava Metzia, if you remember. So there's a good review that people won't want to work for him. So they say, what do you mean? Adraba, right? He'll get a reputation. He doesn't pay his workers. So they say, Adraba, sachir nami, al korche mitagar. So they say, I read the wrong line. Adrava sachir nichale delishta ba balabayit benivka ki hechi deligre balabayit. No, you could say the same thing the other way. The worker would rather the balabayit swear and say, I already paid you and not get paid, because if he gets a reputation that he takes money out of, right, he goes and swears and takes extra money, nobody's going to want to hire him. So they say, balabayit al korche agar sachir. Balabayit al korche agar. But balei bayit need workers. They're going to hire workers no matter what. Even if they hear this guy maybe tried to take double salary, they need workers, right? This is all a matter of supply and demand. But the point is, they need workers, they'll eventually hire you. So they say, you can say the same thing for the other argument. Sachar nami al korche mitagar. The workers are looking for work, so even if they hear the guy doesn't pay all the time, they're still going to take a job with him because they have no choice, right? They need work. So therefore, this could go either way. So it doesn't prove anything. Ela balabayit tarub bepo'alavhu. The balabayit has a lot of workers, and therefore may not remember exactly who he paid and who he didn't. And therefore, we're going to believe the sachir, we're going to let the sachir be nishba v'notel, because we're going to assume he remembers whether he got paid or not. The balabayit might not remember because he's busy with all his workers. V'leitiv le'belo shvua, so then we should basically let him not even have to swear. If we assume the balabayit tzeruba po'alav and the sachir is right, then why do we make the sachir swear? So they say, and this goes back with what I said when we finished the Mishnah, kedei lahafis da'atos ha-balabayit. It's to give the balabayit something to go with. And the balabayit doesn't really remember. It's his word against the sachir's word, but maybe the sachir is making it up. So therefore, to make the balabayit feel better, that the sachir is obviously not making this up, we make the sachir swear. So then they say, if we remember, the whole, even though we have an entire Masechet of Shvuot, the whole agenda is always to minimize Shvuot, because we don't want people to swear falsely, we'd rather they not swear at all. So why don't we say, V'leitiv le'be'edim? Why don't we just say the balabayit, always pay your workers with witnesses, and then you won't ever get into this situation. Tricha le'milte, now that's a headache, to always pay your workers with, edim is a headache. V'leitiv le'mi'ikara, why don't you just say, well, let's pay them up front, and then once you pay them up front, then there can be no vikuach about it. Right, the worker won't start working. It's like similar to the case of the Mishnah, right? He would never give you change, the money changer, if you didn't give him the dinar. So the worker gets paid first, and then he does the work. So if once he starts working, we can assume he already got paid and he can't claim he didn't get paid. Shneim rotzim b'hakafa. This is an interesting one. They both would rather wait till the end. Why? So the Baal HaBayit would rather wait till the end because maybe he doesn't have the money on hand right now. The worker, this is an interesting interpretation I saw. I didn't really see any others. I didn't look far, but this is the one I saw. That the worker is worried if he gets paid in the morning, he might spend all his money and he'll come home with no money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking the Baal HaBayit won't want to pay up front.
Because maybe the the worker won't actually work. Right. The question is why doesn't the worker want to get his money up front? That's a definitely a much more difficult one. He might lose it, yafeh. It might fall out of his pocket, right? That's a good explanation. Okay, he'd rather get it at the end of the day and then he knows he's going home with it. That's a good explanation. I like that better than the one I saw. Okay. So then they say, Ihachi afilu katsats nami. Well then if you're gonna say that it's because we're going back to the Tarud Baal HaBayit, okay? Then, even if they have a vikuach about how much money they agreed upon, we should let the sechir swear and get. Let's say we have a vikuach. I say you told me you pay me 50, and he says I only said I was going to pay you 40. So what should happen in that case? According to this logic, if the Baal HaBayit's tarud, and who can remember how much he agreed with every worker, then I should have the right to claim what I want. But alama tanya, why does it say in a braita? Uman omer shtayim katsatzteli, v'ala omer lo katsatzti lecha ela achat. Okay, if you have someone you hired to do a job for you, and you say, the uman says, you promised me two, and he says, I only promised you one, hamotzi mechaveru alav haraya. He has to bring proof. So therefore, what do you see here? That we don't say he can swear, the uman can swear and get paid. So why don't you assume that? So they say, because katsitza v'adai mitchadachirle. He might not remember whether he paid him or not, but he will definitely remember what salary he agreed to pay him. Like, that's something people do remember. Again, this is all about human nature and what people remember, what they don't. Ihachi afilu avarz mano nami. Now we're going to learn that this whole case is only in a case where it's within the time frame that he's supposed to pay him. But once, okay, what's the time frame? If a worker works during the day, then you have till the rest of the night to pay him till the next morning, basically. If he works at night, then you have through the next day. You basically have like the next time period, and by then you have to pay him. So we're now going to learn that this whole Mishnah was all about, this whole case really is all about if it's within the time frame that you're supposed to pay him. Once the time passes, okay, we're going to see this right now. So ihachi avar zmano, if we assume it's all about the Baal HaBayit b'poel alav and he doesn't remember, well then even after zmano, we shouldn't believe the Baal HaBayit. We should allow the guy to be nishba v'notel. And alama tanya, why do we see in this braita avar zmano v'lo natan lo? If the time passed, we were supposed to pay him, and he claims he didn't pay him, hareze eino nishba v'notel. Okay, we don't let the sachir swear at this case. Why? Because chazaka ein Baal HaBayit over b'bal talin. There's an assumption that a Baal HaBayit. Okay, now it gets trickier about his memory. When he's busy with his polim, he doesn't really remember. But he does remember at that very last moment when he needs to pay him, by that point he'll have paid him. He has in his head somewhere, right? We all know this, our brains work in interesting ways, right? We know that there's lots of things we have to deal with, but we know like when the end date is and it comes back into our heads right around that time and we make sure we deal with it then, even though we might kind of forget in the interim. But when it comes time to it, you have in your head that on this day or at this time, I have to pay this guy, by then you're going to take care of it. Okay, but before that, you might not remember all the details. So obviously, some of the Mepharshim ask, well, then why don't you just wait till that time arrives? If we can assume that at that point he'll remember, then why don't we wait till that point arrives? So you have to answer that. More difficult a question, better question than answer. So then they say, "V'ha amarta Baal HaBayit ruba po alavu," in which case he's not going to necessarily be chazaka eino vera bal talin. So hanimile mekame, this is already what I explained. Hanimile mekame delimti zman chiyuvahu. Right, this is all before zman chiyuva. He's very, very busy with his poalim and won't remember. So if you're having a vikuach, then we're going to believe we're going to let the sachir swear. But kimat zman chiyuva rame anashe umidkar. But when the time comes, he'll make a point of it of remembering. So then, according to this, what do we say? After Zman Chiyuva, if you're a Sakhir and you claim you didn't get paid, if you don't have proof, tough luck. So now the Gemara says, V'chi Sakhir over Mishum Bal Tigzol. What, you think a Sakhir is suspect that he's trying to steal, that he's trying to lie and say, you know, and if he doesn't have proof, we don't believe him? Gabe Baal HaBayit, Ika Tshrei Chazake. The issue is that a Sakhir, in other words, Just like we said, chazaka ein bala bayit over batalin, you can have a chazaka that ain't a sachir gazlan. Okay? Generally, workers aren't robbers. So, but they say that the bala bayit has two chazakas, and this is why if it tilts to his favor, what is it? Chada de ein bala bayit over batalin, v'chada de ein sachir mashes charo. There's an assumption that the sachir won't let the time pass and he won't get paid. He'll come and pester the guy within the time frame, give me my money. And if he doesn't, then maybe it means he already got paid. Okay, so there's another thing working against him or working for the Baal HaBayit to show, and therefore in that case, Amotzim Chaver Alav Haraya. I'm Rav Nachmar, I'm Rav Shmuel. Now we're going to have a lacha that both Shmuel and Rav say. We're going to see it soon in the name of Rav, and then we're going to have a tiyun about it. Lo shanu ela sheschero be'edim. This whole thing about the sachir is only if you hired him in front of witnesses. Avas charo shelo be'edim, mitoch sheyachol lomar lo, lo schartiha me'olam, yachol lomar lo, schartiha v'natata l'cha scharcha. Since he has believed by amigo, he could say, what are you talking about? I never even hired you. And what would happen in that case? That's kofir bakol, and what would he have to do? Take a shvuat hesed, right? But then the Baal HaBayit would be able to take a shvuat hesed and basically not have to pay him. So since he's believed, since that would be, again, he's not believed 100%, he's just believed in the sense that we make it, you know, he is believed, we just make him take a shvuat hesed. So likewise, we should allow him to swear, even if he says, I already paid you, because he's believed if he really was lying, he would have had a better lie. So therefore, when he comes and says, I already paid you, we should allow him to swear and not have to, right, take a shvuat hesed and not have to pay the salary. So that's what Shmuel says. But if you did it with Adim, then he'd no longer have that migo, and then we would let the sachir swear. But if it's with, if he did it without Adim, he'd be ne'eman b'migo, and this whole thing wouldn't apply. Amrle Rabbi Yitzchak, this could be the exact same thing we saw a few dapim ago. Yaisher b'chenem Rabbi Yochanan. Great, I like what you said, and not only that, Rabbi Yochanan also said it. And then when they say Rabbi Yochanan, what about Rish Lakish? Michlal d'palagale Rish Lakish? So ikadamre mishtav ashate v'shatikle v'ikadamre mishtav ashayle v'shatikle. Right? Either, and that's what happened was Rabbi Yitzchak left the baby trash early, and he didn't hear Rish Lakish, because either Rish Lakish was drinking at the time, or he was waiting until Rabbi Yochanan finish his words before he argued, and then Rabbi Yitzchak left too early, and he didn't know. Did Rish Lakish end up agreeing with Rabbi Yochanan, or did he disagree with him? We have no idea. Okay, so Itmar Nami, just like Shmuel said, I'm Rav Menashe, Barzavid, I'm a Rav, Lo shanu ela shescharo be'edim, aval shescharo shelo be'edim, mitoch sheyachol lomar lo, lo schartiha me'olam, yachol lomar lo, schartiha v'natata li schercha. Okay, so Rav says the same thing as Shmuel. Amar Rami bar Chama, kama ma'al yahashmata. Wow, that is brilliant what they said. Okay? Amar le Rava, my ma'al yuta. What's so brilliant about this? I don't get it. Im kein, shvuat shomrim dechiev rachmana, hechi mishkachala. Mitoch sheyachol lomar lo, lo ayu dvarim me'olam, yachol lomar lo ne'ensu. If you're going to allow amigo in a shvua case, then you're basically, you're going to eliminate shvuat shomrim. Because generally, somebody gives someone a pikadon to watch. They don't do it with Adim. So any case where somebody comes and gives you their item without Adim, and you're watching their item, and it's stolen from you, you're a shomer chinam, you're watching it for no money, it gets stolen, you want to swear that it was stolen from me, according to this, right? You can't swear, okay? Because in other words, the guy can be believed and say, right? This is what we're saying. Actually, it's like this. We're saying, since he could have said, I don't even have your pikadon, and he'd be believed, so likewise, he could claim, nensu, and I'm not chayav. In other words, he could lie. He could lie if he wanted, okay? And therefore, why are you making him swear? In other words, we should believe him because we should believe him when he says this, because he could have said a better lie, okay? So Rami Bar Chama says, okay, first of all, before we even get here, the question is, what's Rav's approach? Rav's approach, two ways of reading it. The Rimi Gash says, Rav's approach is that Migo only applies to patur you from a payment, but it doesn't apply to patur you from Shvua. In other words, the realm of Shvua to Mamonot is different. And a Migo claim works in Mamonot, it doesn't work in Shvua, which is very interesting. Right, that this is not a claim that's acceptable in the Shvua realm, because Shvua is not in place of Mamon. Shvua is something different. It's like a whole different world, Okay? Tosfot says, and the Ran, they go with the approach that Migo could exempt you from a Shvua, but this is a bad Migo. This kind of Migo doesn't work, okay? And it's called, they call it Migo de Ha'aza, because you wouldn't have the chutzpah to say, Lo hayu dvarei me'olam, you never hired me, or you never gave me your pikadon to watch. That's not a lie that we think people, right? We've talked about this. Ein adam me'iz b'fnei ba'al chovo. Likewise, if somebody gave you something to watch, you're not going to look him in the face and say, oh, I never got this. So in other words, Migo works because we assume if you were going to lie, you would use a better lie. But the better lie here is not a better lie. It's not a lie that you would ever say. No one would have the chutzpah to say that, to say I returned it to you, or to say it, some onus happened, or to say, you know, something like that, we would believe you. But we don't believe you when you, you know, and we don't think that you would ever say such a thing. So therefore, it's an interesting machloket about why this Migo doesn't work. Okay, so now we're going to have a back and forth between Rami Barchama. So he says, Rabbi says, where are you going to ever have a Shvuat HaShomrim? So Rami Barchama says, you'll have a Shvuat HaShomrim, Da'afkid Le'Be'edim. Any Shvuat HaShomrim, he's now defining Shvuat HaShomrim as only if you got the Pikadon with Edim. So Rava says, Mitoch she'achol omar lo, it's still you could have a Migo. If you think Migo works, then you can have a Migo like this. Mitoch she'achol omar lo, hichzartiv lecha, yachol omar lo nensu. Okay? This is in a case of, actually, they're talking about a Shomer Sachar, who was only going to be Patra if he says Nansu, and he has to swear Nansu. So why would you make him swear? Since he could have said, I returned it to you already, and there's no, right? In other words, that could work. So therefore, why do we make him swear? He's Ne'eman b'Migo. So in which case, according to you, Rami Barchama, who thinks Migo works, right, then what are we going to say? We're going to say there's no Shvuat HaShomrim. So Rami Barchama says, okay, fine, you're putting me into a corner. I'll say the Shvuat HaShomrim was only in the case de'afkid le'bishtara, that he gives it with a shtar. And because he has a shtar and the shtar wasn't returned, then it seems clear that he didn't return the item yet. Now, the Gemara is going to say from here, Michlal, from here we can infer, there is one thing that Rava and Rami Barchama agree, Travayu svira lehu ha-mafkid etzal chavero be'edim, ein tzarich lachzir lo be'edim. But b'shtar tzarich lachzir lo be'edim. Okay, that if you're mafkid with edim, you don't have to return it be'edim, but if you do it with a shtar, you have to return it be'edim, because they're going to say, da'afkid le'b'shtara, and then you'd have to swear, because otherwise, if you didn't have to swear, it means you can't return a be'edim, because otherwise you could have said that there, if you're afkid le'bishtara, you're not ne'eman b'migo, right, according to this one second. Why is it clear they both believe this? Because where did we end with? The case before we ended, he said, if you just had Edim, he would be Ne'eman to say Hichzartiv Lecha, which means you don't have to return it with Edim. But with a shtar, you already would have to return it with Edim. Okay? Kari Rami Barchama Aleitu Rav Sheshet. Now, Rami Barchama said about Rav Sheshet, Vayasim David et Hadvarima Eile Bilibo. Okay, he says, David took this very seriously. He's saying, why? De'eshkache, why do you say this about Rav Sheshet? De'eshkache Rav Sheshet L'Rabba Bar Shmuel. Amarlein, as Rav Sheshet wanted to understand this very well. So he's saying it's just like David was trying, you know, was sitting on this for a while. Rav Sheshet also, because what did he say? Amarle, t'nei mar midi besachir. So he says to him, Right. Okay. Have you learned anything about Sakhir? And what do you know about Sakhir? Amar le'in? Yes, I do. Tanina, Sakhir bizmano nishba v'notel. Okay. I learned that a Sakhir, this is the whole halacha of Shmuel and Rav, a Sakhir bizmano nishba v'notel. Okay. Only bizmano, but not la'achar zmano. Ketzad, bizman shamar lo schartani, v'lo natata li schari, v'hala omer schartiha, v'natati l'cha scharcha. Okay. Aval amar lo, and that's the case. Aval amar lo shtayim katzatzta li, v'ala amar lo katzatzta li el achat, amotzim echavero alav haraya. Okay, but in the case of Ketzitza, that they're arguing about how much the case was, that's going to be a case where, right, we're going to say amotzim echavero alav haraya. So now he says, hami desefa b'raya, ha-resha b'lo raya. Ha-resha b'lo raya. You're going to say that Right, Rav Sheshet's going to say from here we can disprove Shmuel. Why? Because he says, look at this braita. The braita says, Sachir b'zmano nishba v'notel, right, b'zman shamar lo, like this. And then in the second case, it says, hamotzi mechaver olav haraya, you need aidim. So what does it prove? Then the first case, you don't need aidim. And what did Shmuel say? You need aidim that you hired the person, right? Okay, it's not such a great proof because we're going to see in a second, we're talking about different aidim. Shmuel was talking about aidim at the time you were hired. And this is talking about aiding to prove what you agreed about, which would be the comparable to our situation, would be aiding that saw that you got paid. So it's not the same aiding. But at first he says, well, the fact that you need aiding in the second case, it means you obviously don't need aiding in the first case, which seems to disprove Shmuel. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Reisha Baseva Baraya, they are both with aiding, meaning the transaction in the beginning happened with aiding. Raya de l'shalem katane, raya de shvua lo katane. Okay, and the raya they're talking about was not the same raya. One is mechayevet to pay, right? What they had to pay, what the amount was, and the other is to be mechayevet shvua. In other words, whether they were edim in the first place or not. Okay, so that's a whole different thing. Okay, stop here quickly.